take a stab at summarizing what we discussed. I'll start with yesterday. We heard from Erki, but that was to update us on the workings of the trustees and the foundation. The first thing, though, I'd like to talk about, though, is the session that we had on the monitoring of consistent adoption. We heard from the Basel Committee representative, Iosco, and Ellen from the IMF. Here are some common themes related to monitoring adoption and assessing consistency. One characteristic is a structured, transparent approach. Each of those organizations has publicly available handbooks that describe how the program works. So the level of transparency is really superb. The other factor that came up, and this is really important, the need for a dedicated, well-trained set of resources to conduct the programs, to conduct the assessments, the evaluations. This is a time-consuming process, so it's resource-intensive and it's time-intensive. And to illustrate that point, interpretation plays an important role in the assessments, and a great deal of judgment is often required. Although you can safeguard, or you can kind of mitigate that by this important role of judgment, by the presence of a thorough quality control process, multi layers of safeguards, experienced assessors. But all these things, I know in the Basel Committee's case, it took time to develop these things, and it did change over time. But I know that was one of, when I was in that position, I think that was one of the most important post-crisis things that we did, was to develop this way to monitor the adoption of Basel Committee standards. What else did we hear yesterday? The monitoring programs really had the effect of improving incentives for implementation. None of those organizations, the Basel Committee, OSCO, or the IMF, none of them has really supranational authority, or legal authority, enforcement authority. So it's really the power of transparency and disclosure that makes a very big difference. All those organizations publish their reports, and that's so the disclosure aspect really is key here. We also heard about proportionality and the need to remain mindful of country profiles and the nature of the different engagements, the different assessments. I mentioned publication. There was also a recognition of striking proper balance between transparency and confidentiality. I think something else that we heard from each of the presenters was the importance of a really thorough review process. That in each case, and I've been involved in the Basel Committee reviews. I've been involved in IMF FSAPs, and the number of levels of review is really astounding, and that's why. In many cases, these assessments take a long time because people understand that the reports will be made public and want to make sure that that we get it right. So the review process really is important. Some potential roadblocks or potential obstacles, hindrances, risks, however you want to call them. Somebody made the very good point about being aware of unintended consequences. For example, organizations that monitor adoption should provide interpretation and technical assistance without creating a shadow system of standard setting within that regulatory jurisdiction. So it's important to remain mindful of the task at hand and to avoid kind of creating new standards. That's something that I know Basel Committee was very sensitive to, as is IOSCO and CPMI. Somebody else made the point focusing on substance over form when working with domestic regulations, or a question was asked about how do these assessments distinguish between standards or regulation and supervision. I've got a strong view on that. Focus on substance over form and distinguishing between regulation and supervision. These points were raised, but at least in the case of the Basel Committee and IOSCO CPMI, it's clear that the purpose is to assess the consistency, and I emphasize the word consistency, of the standards. For example, in the Basel Committee's case, there's the global standard that's developed by the Basel Committee, and the purpose of the assessments at the jurisdictional, at the national level, is to, it's really almost a line-by-line comparison. Here's what the global standard says. Here's what, here's how it has been written into regulation at the national level, the jurisdictional level. Are there differences? Are those differences material? What's the impact of those differences? So that's really the purpose. Maybe a jurisdiction has a really rigorous supervisory regime that could help mitigate a weak or a diluted adoption of the global standard. But that's almost irrelevant. That's not the objective in assessing the standards. I think that's really an important distinction. It's really about assessing the consistency of adoption, or the consistency of the putting the standard, the global standard, in place at the national level. Now, it's also, I think it's also important to point out that as a corollary to the point I just made, it should be recognized that the programs typically evaluate the compliance with the minimum requirements. Now, a jurisdiction might adopt one standard that exceeds the level of rigor of the global minimum standard, but that doesn't compensate for the weakness in another standard. It's looking at the standards on a standalone basis, not considering other what may be mitigating factors, like strong supervision, or a gold-plated standard in another respect. It's really just to look at the standards, compare them on a, to compare their consistency. All right, but what does this mean for the IFRS Foundation? Points that we heard yesterday: regional adoption, reviewing consistency, assessing the outcomes. I think there's I sense a strong view that monitoring consistent adoption should be a priority for the foundation's work. Guidance would be needed to help consistency, especially under exceptional circumstances. If the IFRS Foundation were to take this forward, it would need to establish a formal process with, and I mentioned before, a dedicated team, resources. This is, as the IMF, Basel Committee, and IOSCO well know, this is an expensive, labor-intensive process. So it's important to know what you're getting yourself into. But it would help the foundation to monitor, assess, and obtain regular feedback on the level of implementation from different jurisdictions. So that was my takeaway on the adoption, the monitoring adoption topic. We had an excellent discussion on customers' digital experience. Mark Byatt from the foundation staff provided an overview, and let me just run through some of the points that I jotted down, some of the common themes. So I think members found the proposed framework, the digital framework, and the persona cards very useful. There were some recommendations about, for example, having a persona card for audit. The need to emphasize the provision of educational material and implementation guides. I thought that was a point that people had made. That was a, an excellent point. We heard a suggestion to implement machine learning search capabilities. This increases the relevance of the search results by learning from users' searches. All these points, by the way, Mark addressed toward the end, after members had a chance to part, to express their views, and he would take that back to his staff and those within the staff working on this. So I think your points were very well received. What else did I hear on the discussion related to adopt an experimental and evaluative framework, developing and implementing strategy one step at a time, followed by assessment, then reassessment. I heard this tension between the commercial aspect of the standards, in other words, being paid for the content, and the broader accessibility of the information. The topic of accessibility came up several times. This is important, particularly the ease of navigating through the standards. So accessibility weighed against the free availability of the content versus being paid for the content. There's a certain tension there that's been recognized. Collaboration between different types of stakeholders and the need for communication. That's something else that came out during members' comments. Let's see, an important aspect also, the clarity of information presented and recognizing who is the target stakeholder. That good advice to Mark and his team. I also heard a few people recommending sharing preliminary thoughts on an ongoing project. So this constant flow of information so people can remain up to date on progress. We also heard the language the language issue. This is a tricky one, having information in languages other than English. That that was that point was well made. Going back to the persona cards and the segmentation of people, very useful. But the segmentation of the contents is sometimes more efficient. So rather than segmentation of people, maybe segmentation of contents, that it's a more efficient way to go. Also the need to keep the persona cards up to date. There was a suggestion to create ISB, so board staff persona cards and persona cards for some organizations like the IMF, like IOSCO. I also heard, I like this idea, an IFRS app would include an e-version of the standards, educational materials, news, research, so on. And it could be subscribed to or offered for free or something in between. But an IFRS app, intriguing. A few of you also said that the functionality of the website ought to be improved. I still think, again, I can't help but see a lot of things through the lens of my previous role. And I know we would often look at the IFRS website to get a sense of transparency and how the foundation, how the board do things. But always room for improvement. And so, There was a call to improve the functionality of the website. For example, simpler access to implementation of the implementation support and the materials. by unpacking, that was the expression, I think, unpacking PDFs. Deep linking between the standards and related content, something also called for example, the related content would include agenda decisions, implementation materials, and so forth. They asked for the introduction of for rich segmentation from very easy to very technical. So a segmentation of the contents from easy to technical, that this would help navigate, this would help with the navigation of the IFRS website. So those were my my takeaways from yesterday. Today, I thought Hans's update was very nicely done. My takeaway, Hans talked about a discussion paper, exposure draft, and some of the work that they've the educational material on IFRS 9. I'll tell you that my main takeaway is, and I guess this is a lot of people this resonates with a lot of people. Work is still getting done. Obviously, these are really important topics on which the board, the foundation, all of us are working. But it's not a permanent solution to conduct work the way it's been it's been done over the past couple of months. So work continues. Obviously, Hans pointed out a few of those areas, and hopefully we'll go back to a, I'm not saying the old way of doing things, but we will return to a certain sense of normalcy, hopefully in the near future. Still a lot of work to be done. The discussion on the KPIs, that was extremely rich. The feedback, thank you for your engagement in that. There was a lot of feedback. Anna's working on this, Neely is very involved in this. So I think you gave Anna and Neely the kind of feedback for which they were hoping. The next step as far as the summary, so we will distribute, Anna, what is our target? To distribute the summary next week to, yes, to members, a draft summary to members next week?
That's right, yes.
Okay, so the discussion from yesterday that I just went over will provide more granularity on the feedback on the KPIs that we discussed this morning. That this will be included in the draft summary that we will distribute sometime next week. All right, before we go into closed session, does anyone have any comments on how I just summarized? Is there anything glaring that I missed? Now, I understand I didn't go into great detail with the KPIs. I haven't yet had time to go through my notes, and I also want to speak with Anna about the main takeaways. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention, you'd like to point out when it comes to the summary? Okay, let's then, and Simon, at this point, I'd like to move to the closed session of the Advisory Council meeting. Can we do that?